would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And we're going to start things off getting by with a little help from our friends. We have our friends from Opening Doors here this morning. Bruce Cady, who's the executive director, is here with us. And they help the homeless in the simplest terms. And they work with numerous agencies as they are the continuum of care from start to finish. And we also have another group with us, and I'm going to let Bruce introduce his guest today. And just want to thank too, as Opening Doors is a nonprofit, they also have a sponsor today for the show. So we do want to recognize DeLuna Lanes on East 9 Mile Road. Thank you so much for sponsoring this show and helping us to get out this important information. So good morning, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, Meg. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Yes, I'm excited to have you here. So tell me who your guests are. I got a chance to chat a little bit in the hallway, and I'm just very impressed already with what they do.
Well, we are a homeless continuum of care here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And so that means that we are a gathering, a grouping of different agencies, individuals, volunteers, faith-based organizations that all have one goal, which is to end homelessness and to make sure that if someone is homeless, they're homeless for the least amount of time. And so who we have on today with us is one of our wonderful partners in doing this work. Specifically, I go to them for street outreach in helping us identify individuals that are experiencing homelessness and helping get them into our homeless service delivery network. And that's Offensive Corp. We have with us today Brad Bishop, the executive director of Offensive. I consider him a wonderful professional, great partner to work with, and brings a lot of good, positive energy to the hard work that we're doing in the community.
Well, welcome to you. I'm so happy that you could be here on the show with us today. And you have, there's so much to talk about. So let's first, we understand what your role is, Bruce. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you, but I wanted to say Offensive Corps has an interesting spelling, which as soon as you told me that, made me understand a little bit more about what you're about. So it's not just Offensive. It has something extra.
Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Brad Bishop. I'm the executive director of Offensive Corps, and it has a T in the middle of it so that the word F-E-N-T is spelled out in it, because my brother died 3 years ago of fentanyl poisoning, and it kind of sent me on a path to figure out what was going on, and I realized we were playing defense as a community. We were responding to overdoses. We weren't in front of them. And a lot of great things were developed in our community through the response, but it was still defense, right? And so we wanted to go on the offensive. We wanted to go connect with individuals before they had an overdose and connect them with the resources.
So the FENT is for fentanyl.
Yes, which is a reminder to me.
And you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of misunderstanding, there's a lot of misconceptions about drug addiction and alcoholism. And so one of the things that's so important to remember too is that it is an addiction and it has been classified as a disease. So there's a mental health component, of course, but there's also a lot of times these things can happen because people might be purchasing their, whatever they want to use, their drugs, and they may think they have one thing and it turns out to be something else entirely. And that's where we have now that rise in overdoses, because from what we were talking about, fentanyl is being disguised as other things. And so someone may not intentionally take that, and it could be deadly. And the other thing too is when someone asks me about this topic and says, okay, well, what about the age range? I mean, we're just talking about teenagers, right? No, it's an equal opportunity killer. Wouldn't you say about the age range and the income? It doesn't. None of those things, outside things, matter.
No, actually. So the age range is for 81% of the overdose deaths is 35 to 55.
Wow. See, and that's older than I would have thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your location and some of the services y'all provide.
So we have a resource hub on Fairfield Drive, 2211 West Fairfield, where we're strategically located so we can serve the unsheltered community. We have an outreach team that operates in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. In Santa Rosa County, we're at
First Presbyterian.
First Presbyterian Church on Elmira Street, downtown Milton. So we have outreach teams there and over here in Escambia.
Great.
Those teams are made up of peers, people with lived experience that kind of made it out of the fire and are returning. And when I say made it out of the fire, that could be substance use, that could be mental health, that could be housing instability. And here in Florida, we actually have a state certification for recovery peer specialists, which we're encouraging for people coming out of the streets, coming into recovery and getting stabilized and developing tools, but looking for a career path. You know, we're trying to strengthen that workforce and get respect for the peers. So these peers will go out into areas of high drug use that could be encampments, hotels, motels, abandoned buildings, in the woods. And we go to these places because we're built of teams from here. They lived here. There's connections here, so we're able to return and establish relationships with the individuals there who, when we're talking about a fentanyl addiction, so fentanyl,
explain a little bit about what that drug is. We hear it all the time in the news, but some folks may not really understand.
My interpretation of it when my brother died was that it was something just sent here to kill people, and it was being hidden in things. And it was. But what came out of that was people are severely addicted to it if they survived that. Mm-hmm. And so, and that even, the evolution of the strength of fentanyl and its analogs and all these other things that have came after it, it's just a testimony to how bad fentanyl was in the first place, and we just kind of didn't realize it or something. It just kind of snuck in here and got us.
Well, I love what you said about peer support, because I think it does make a huge difference when someone is suffering and a person that has the best intentions walks up and says, I think I can help you. Oh, yeah? Well, you've never sat in my shoes. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand. And that person goes, actually, I do. And I can share my experience with you and tell you how I was able to overcome this, and I can help you do that. And I'm telling you, that just drops all that defiance. Suddenly you have someone up here who's been there, done there, and they're standing there in front of you clean and sober. It's really powerful.
Absolutely. And they know the resources, because navigating the resources is a gauntlet. Yes. And especially if you're living on the streets with no access to internet to find out what those resources are, it's easy to say, oh, just go get a job. Oh, just go get treatment. But I know for a fact, when I tried to help my friend get into treatment at first, before I navigated this, it was the wrong number after wrong number, rejection after rejection. And that in itself will cause somebody to just say, this is, it's not real, and just go back to it.
Yeah, they give up. It's too hard.
Well, sure. Yeah. We're talking this morning on Pep Talk with our friends from the Opening Doors and Offensive Chorus. Their guest this morning, the executive director, Brad Bishop, is here. If you have any questions for them, please text them in. It could be about recovery. It could be about their services. Maybe you know someone that needs help, or maybe you know someone that you might want to volunteer and help out, or you want to donate and help them keep their services going. All you have to do this morning, you know, if you want to find out more about it, is text in a question or comment at 850-437-1620. So, Bruce, what are some of the things that you'd like to touch on in terms of what Offensive is doing and the difference they're making in the community?
Well, in doing this work, it is very difficult, as Brad spoke of, to get access to individuals where they are, because oftentimes they are they have mental health challenges, they have anxiety. That there's a tremendous, within the street homeless, so the chronic homeless population, there's a tremendous distrust of the institutions.
That's interesting. Why is that, would you say?
Here in the state of Florida, the state legislature has made homelessness and camping in public illegal.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I think you're right.
And so if you don't have a place to live, you don't have a place to stay, and the government is telling you that, well, you can't sleep in a public space, that sends a message, mm-hmm. I suppose. And regrettably, within all of our communities, law enforcement is often the only response that our local communities, our local governments have to the issues that congregate homelessness brings to a community. I love working with our law enforcement partners here. They have wonderful heart. They have absolutely great training. They collaborate. The Escambia Sheriff's Office, the City of Pensacola, they're in the streets. They're working with us. They're working together with us to serve the homeless. But that's an expensive resource to serve the 1,155 homeless that we counted during the homeless point in time count.
That's a lot.
And so that's where organizations like Offensive are so critical to our communities. They're the boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, it takes skilled organizations like Offensive 10 touches, 10 engagements with a chronic homeless individual before we can get them into the homeless service delivery system.
So it's building that trust.
It's building the trust.
From the ground up.
That's right.
That makes sense, yeah.
It's earning their trust. It's doing the small things early and then doing slightly bigger things and then, hitting it out of the park by getting them into the homeless service delivery system so we get them sheltered and they get a roof on their head. And the crisis and the trauma that they're experiencing on the street starts to wash away from them. Okay, they're able to respond better to services because they don't have the crisis and trauma of just trying to survive,
right.
Trying to find food,
water.
Raining, yeah, exactly. It's raining pretty heavy out there right now. Imagine not having a place to be.
I always think about that with this kind of weather. Well, we did have a great, I love our listeners. We have the best listeners here at News Radio 92.3. And the very first text that just came in said, I'd like to ask Offensive Corps how we can sign up to volunteer and how we can donate to the cause.
Awesome.
So thank you for that.
You go get them, Brad. We need the help.
So tell us how we can help. Because a lot of fit folks are listening. They're probably in their cars right now. They may not be able to text in. But I told them, I was real honest, I had not heard of this group before. So I'm so excited that you're here so we can get the word out. Because what you're doing is really angels' work.
Thank you so much. And for anybody that would like to volunteer, you can give us a call at 448-228-7037. Or you can register on our website, offensive.com, offensive.com/volunteers, or you could check out our Facebook page where quite a bit of the action is, where you can wrap your head around who we are and what we do a lot better. Offensive on Facebook.
Okay, that's great, because it's all pretty easy access. So do that. Be sure and call in, make that donation, go online, and remember to put the T, offensive.com. So you were telling me a little bit, because I asked, do you have a facility? Are you operating any shelter-ish kind of places? And you said you are doing some of those services. Talk a bit about that, because I think that'd be a lot of interest to women, too.
Yeah, so in doing our outreach, we would come across different situations in encampments or in abandoned places where there was type of human trafficking going on, where vulnerabilities associated with addiction will be manipulated and exploited for trafficking. And as we would come across these places, we would make connections and we would try to connect people with resources like rehab or detox. And that was kind of our go-to. When we would get one of these victims out of the situation, would go to a detox. However, we were filling up detox beds left and right for other reasons, not just specifically for the trafficking scenarios we were coming across. And I ended up in my truck one day with an individual that we were trying to get into a detox, and she was there was no beds available. So we started calling all the numbers And like I mentioned earlier, calling the numbers can be daunting. Called all the numbers for the human trafficking support in the phone book, and it was rejection after rejection, which was that was a painful lesson for me, because I know she heard all that rejection, because it was coming out in her expressions. And then finally she said, well, you know, we already have this outreach office. It had a little backyard. And she said, can I just set up a tent in your backyard? And the only answer, you know, on any planet for me was absolutely, of course. I know where she just came from. I know what the options are right now. And there's nobody back there. We've got a kitchen, we've got shower. Okay. Yeah, this makes all the sense in the world. At any other point in my life, it would have not made sense. I would have had all the reasons why it didn't make sense. But when the conversation was between me and her, and I knew the rest of the opportunities out there, it was a yes. And that grew into what we call Campo now. It has 13 residents.
Wow. From that initial experience, that's amazing.
It is. And our team's grown. We've got our GOAT team, which is goal-oriented achievement technicians, which is a peer-led case management. We, you know, in our daily work, we don't use the words case management, because some of the individuals we work with have traumas associated with case managers, you know, and nothing personal against case managers. You know, we're thankful for their work. It's just when we're making this first contact and trying to overcome barriers, sometimes that triggers traumas from losing their kids to a case manager.
Sure,
social
services.
Situation where the case manager sent me to jail. So, you know, we approach it from a peer-informed lens with our GOAT team.
That sounds great. So you do have a team that you're working with, which is really amazing. Tell us a little bit more about some of the things that you'll do.
So, we operate this camp. We have another camp that's on the way, and that's being funded by Opening Doors.
Yeah, describe that camp a little bit. Campo 2, I think you guys are calling it, right?
Campo 2. So from Campo, 13 individuals in tents, you know, at a place, 0.1 acres, not meant for a camp, to a 1.3-acre secure in the woods, but still accessible to all the resources.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of land that is being built to serve this specific function, the first of its kind women's transitional camp that will be able to shelter 35 women.
Wow, that's incredible. And I think I have read a lot about women and the danger of women being homeless is even more challenging in some ways than men.
That was another driver behind Campo. At that time, we did not have any opportunities for women as far as shelters. Even our main shelter here did not have that availability at that point in time.
Right.
They do now, so you know we're very thankful that we have that now. But at that point in time, there was no other options, and they are the most vulnerable. We were observing through our outreach what was taking place, right? And what we also observed is when there's substance use like meth, which becomes a survival tool mm-hmm. on the streets to stay awake, because for a woman, anytime she closes her eyes, all the worst things happen, even if she's awake, because, you know, sometimes there's other groups of men that can overpower the situation. So they'll utilize stimulants like this to stay awake, to stay warm in the cold. And when they come to our camp, our camp is low barrier. We do not turn somebody away due to substance use. Now, we don't allow substance use at our camp, but we do not turn somebody away for that. And what we've observed in many cases is women coming with stimulant addictions, just through having the rest and the security and being able to sleep and wake up, and all of everything she had there with her is still there. Medications can now start being taken properly. A lot of those barriers kind of evaporate, and we've watched several individuals just completely stop a meth addiction from being there. Fentanyl's a little bit tougher to combat.
Sure. There's no fees for the people that are at the camps, are there?
No, we don't charge because we cannot come up with the business model that we can feel comfortable with charging the individuals we serve. We're trying to be that first step towards getting established with mm-hmm. their income so that they can go to the other shelters that do cost money.
Right.
We operate completely off donations just to pay the rent.
So where can someone go if they want to make a donation?
Offensive.com. Right on the first page, there's a donate, or you can send us a Cash App, $Offensive, OFFENTSIVE.
Okay, and we're here with Opening Doors today. DeLuna Lanes is sponsoring the show for us. Bruce, what have you wanted to talk about?
Well, what Brad very articulately described is the professional approach to supporting those that are in the most vulnerable in our communities. From a continuum of care perspective, it's our responsibility to figure out a way to help them do this work. Private donations, like our awesome friends from DeLuna Lanes, thank you all.
Thank you.
To include the state and federal funding that our continuum of care brings into the community. So we've been able to help with that project. And also local government. The city of Pensacola provided funding for the pallet shelters that Offensive is going to install and construct there at their site. So you have a combination of private philanthropy, our community hard at work serving our fellow citizens here. You have state and federal resources. And then you have your local government, D.C. Reeves and the mayor of Pensacola and the Pensacola City Council has been a very proactive partner with our community as well as Escambia County, bringing money into the homeless service delivery network. So the challenge for somebody in my role is to identify good providers and advocate for those good providers to help them get the resources they need to be successful so they can do the good work that we get the results. And so I'm on my 143rd day here.
Yay.
And
I think I met you when you were at about 30 days. So
literally, yeah. And so during this time, early on, I got to know Offensive. I got to know Brad and Ashley and see the good work that they're doing and engage as we're working with specific issues in the community. I like their approach. I love their energy. I love the dignity and the grace that they serve the unsheltered in our community. And so I've done my best to advocate for them, help them, and be a support to them. You know, they need the good work that's being done out there needs support from the community. And that's part of the work that our continuum of care does is provide the support so the providers could just be out there and do the awesome work that they're doing. And so I'm just...
And can someone go to your website as well to find out a little bit about all the different agencies you work with and who you are in this process?
Absolutely. You can go to www.openingdoorsnwfl.org. And also, just a plug for one of our wonderful community partners here, United Way of West Florida, operates the 211 service. So regardless of your issue, whether it's homelessness, housing instability, mental health, help with children, daycare, things like that, 211 is a fabulous resource. You don't want to call 911. You want to call 211. If it's not emergency, yes, please engage with our law enforcement and first responders.
211, you can get all the different resources, and you covered the whole list, so there's a lot to it. I just want to thank all of you for being here. I know how busy you are. I'm sitting here looking out the window at the pouring rain and thinking I'm so grateful for all the blessings that I have. And if there's any way, we're a rich community, y'all. There shouldn't be anybody on the street, in my humble opinion, that is homeless. So I'm so grateful for what you're doing. We've been talking with the Executive Director, Brad Bishop, at Offensive Corps. Ashley is here with us. She's on the team there. And Bruce Cady, who does such good work with Opening Doors. We're so grateful for all you do.
And Ryo, the homeless outreach dog.
Okay, and go to the websites, and you can find out how you can donate and help. I'm sure they can use help with volunteers. So whatever you can do to help, it can make a difference. Thanks, everybody. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Megan.